Well, welcome to chapel on this Wednesday during a week when we are celebrating Civil Rights Week. We talked on Monday, which was Martin Luther King Day, about how we are part of a ministry of reconciliation. And we wanted to continue speaking about Martin Luther King and about his ministry of reconciliation as we gathered here today. I want you to hear these words from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 31, verse 8 says, "Speak out for those who cannot speak, for the rights of all the destitute. Speak out, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy." We talked on Monday about how, as people who are in Christ, we can see a new creation. And that is what our ministry of reconciliation is to make this world look like that new creation with our lives. And unfortunately, we live in a world where some people can speak and other people's voices are not heard. So part of this ministry of reconciliation is to speak out for those whose voices have been robbed from them. And that is what Martin Luther King Jr. did during his life. He was a prophet for justice. He spoke out for those who did not have a voice. We're going to hear the words of Martin Luther King this morning. And as we hear them, I want you to listen for what God is saying to you and to your ministry of reconciliation. How are you hearing a new creation being described that you could embody with your life as a follower of Jesus Christ? How do you hear these words in the world where you live? And how can you be compelled to speak for those who cannot speak? I want to welcome here this morning four people who are going to be sharing these words with us. So Sammy Madsen is a student here at Hope. Jungwoo Kim is a professor in music department. I'm sorry. Kristen Gray works for our counseling department, and Blake Soule is a student here at Hope. Let's hear the words from Dr. Martin Luther King.
All right. I'm going to be reading a eulogy that was written by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. for four young girls who were killed in the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing. And it was also meant to be a call to action for all people in all times and places. This afternoon, we gather in the quiet of this sanctuary to pay our last tribute of respect to these beautiful children of God. These children, unoffending, innocent, and beautiful, were the victims of one of the most vicious and tragic crimes ever perpetrated against humanity. And yet they died nobly. They are the martyred heroines of a holy crusade for freedom and human dignity. And so, in a real sense, they have something to say to each of us in their death. They have something to say to every minister of the gospel who has remained silent behind the safe security of stained glass windows. They have something to say to every politician who has fed his constituents with the stale bread of hatred and the spoiled meat of racism. They have something to say to every Negro who has passively accepted the evil system of segregation and who has stood on the sidelines in a mighty struggle for justice. They say to each of us, black and white alike, that we must substitute courage for caution. They say that we must not be concerned merely about who murdered them, but about the system, the way of life, and the philosophy that produced the murderers. Their death says to us that we must work passionately and unrelentingly for the realization of the American dream.
I'll be reading Remaining Awake Through a Great Revolution. I'm sure that you are familiar with the story about Rip Van Winkle, who slept for 20 years. But the most striking thing about the story is that he slept through a great revolution. There is nothing more tragic than to sleep through a revolution. We see in our own world a revolution of rising expectations. The great challenge facing every individual is to remain awake. We are challenged to achieve a world perspective. Anyone who feels that we can live in isolation today, anyone who feels that we can live without being concerned about other individuals and other nations, is sleeping through a revolution. We must all learn to live together as brothers, or we will all perish together as fools. This is a great issue facing us today. No individual can live alone. No nation can live alone. We are tied together. Whatever affects us directly affects all indirectly. For some strange reason, I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. Racial injustice is still the Negro's burden and America's shame. Let nobody give you the impression that the problem of racial injustice will work itself out. Let nobody give you the impression that only time will solve the problem. It may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic works and violent actions of the bad people who bomb a church in Birmingham, Alabama, or shoot down civil rights workers in Selma, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, "Wait on time." Somewhere, we must come to see that human progress never rolls in on wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals. Without this hard work, time becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. So, we must help time and realize that the time is always right to do right.
I'm reading from a sermon titled Birth of a New Nation. Dr. King gave this sermon at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, in the spring of 1957. The road to freedom is a difficult, hard road. There are always temporary setbacks. Whenever you get out of Egypt, you always confront a little tension. You always confront a little temporary setback. If you didn't confront that, you'd never get out. The forces of the universe are on the side of justice. It symbolizes that an old order of colonialism, segregation, and discrimination is passing away, and a new order of justice and freedom and goodwill is being born. And I say to you this morning, my friends, rise up and know that. As you struggle for justice, you do not struggle alone, but God struggles with you. He's working every day. And we can sing the chorus, Alleluia, glory, Alleluia, His truth is marching on. I can hear Isaiah say, every valley shall be exalted, and every hill shall be made low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. That's the beauty of it. All flesh shall see it together. Not some white and not some black, not some yellow and not some brown, but all flesh shall see it together. For I can look out and see a great number, as John saw, marching into the great eternity. We have orders now to break down the bondage and the walls of colonialism, exploitation, and imperialism, to break them down to the point that no man will trample over another man, but that all men will respect the dignity and worth of all human personality. Moses might not get to see Canaan, but his children will see it. And as there is always a Joshua to take up his work and take the children on in. Oh, what exceedingly marvelous things God has in store for us. Grant that we may follow him enough to gain them. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, help us to see the insights that come from this new nation. Help us to follow Thee and all Thy creative works in this world, and that somehow we will discover that we are made to live together as brothers, and that it will come in this generation, the day when all men will recognize the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Amen.
I will be reading a sermon called Unfulfilled Dreams. If I can leave anything with you, let me urge you to be sure that you have a strong boat of faith. The winds are going to blow. The storms of disappointment are coming. Be sure that your boat is strong. Be very sure that you have an anchor. In times like these, you need an anchor, and be very sure that your anchor holds. It will be dark sometimes, and it will be dismal and trying, and tribulations will come. But if you have faith in God, you can stand up amid the storms, and I say it to you, I've seen the lightning flash, I've heard the thunder roll, I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul, but I heard the voice of Jesus saying, still fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
Martin Luther King also said this, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter. As people who can see a new creation and who are called to a ministry of reconciliation, we cannot be silent about the things that matter in our world today. So I want to invite you all to be prophets, to speak for those who cannot speak. I want to invite you to join us, if you can, at the Anchor at 11 o'clock. We're going to do a march where we name injustice in our world today, and where we try to embody that new creation where everyone has a voice. Let's close by praying together some words of Martin Luther King Jr. Pray with me. O God of Exodus and the burning bush, of the prophets and of Jesus, we hear your powerful calling to be your servants in the service of all those who are oppressed. At every turn, we hear your voice in the cries of the poor, the hungry, the imprisoned, and the broken. For you made yourself one with those who seek justice, freedom, and peace. We share a vision, a promise, and a yearning for the day of your reign, O God. You are our servant God, and we would be your serving people. So, O God, our sustainer, search our hearts and reveal to us our sinfulness, all the ways that we contribute to injustice and to self-destroying bondage. Give us deep courage to find the true path of your way, ready to give our very selves as living sacrifices for your will. We have heard your calling. May we pledge ourselves now to pursue relentlessly that living and breathing justice which transforms people. In your name, amen. And now receive this benediction before you go. These are also the words of Martin Luther King. He said this, go from this place to reap the harvest of God's love. Go from this place to continue to sow seeds of justice, peace, and love. Go from this place to nourish and to be nourished, knowing that God is ever part of our lives. Amen. Amen.